And so what we've seen here, what he's told us as we look at the this worldview, Christian worldview, as the message of the apologist, metaphysically, God is absolute personality. Epistemologically, God is omniscient. He knows all, and he's created all, and so he knows all, and he's the foundation of knowledge. And now finally, ethics, right? Ethics investigates such matters as good and evil, right and wrong. And like Christian metaphysics and epistemology, Christian ethics is distinctive from, other worldviews. And that's the basic idea that he's really honing in on over and over again. Christianity is different. It's distinctive, right? Whereas the world might be, the secularists might be bent toward the impersonal, Christianity focuses on the personal, right? Where reason or perhaps sense experience is the foundation of knowledge, Christianity sees God, who is omniscient, as the foundation of knowledge.
And I
And
would also
so,
want to make the point too of in this chapter, he does mention different religious perspectives and talks about, okay, well, here's ones that claim to be personal, but there's actually an impersonal aspect within this belief system. So Hinduism or even the Greek gods, fate has this you have the gods there, but they're not all encompassing. But fate then kind of becomes this impersonal force that controls all things that the gods don't. And so again, I just want to make clear that there's more to this chapter that he lays out other
right.
aspects as well. And I
So
think that
he
this does a
right.
really
He
good job.
critiques not only secular ideas, but also various religious ideas
Yes.
as
Yeah.
well, right? And of course, it would be here for a long time,
Right.
longer,
Yeah.
right, if we
But
did. But
he's
so
showing the personal nature of Christianity as being completely distinct, even when you think, well, what about Islam, or what about Hinduism, or what about these various other religions? And so he does mention them more that we're not covering here.
right, good. All right. So he says, under ethics, we must observe that God is also the supreme standard of what is good and evil, right and wrong. And he has expressed his standards in his words to us in the scriptures. Unbelievers, he says, we're told, know not only of God's existence, but also of his standards, his requirements. They know this. That's what Romans 1 says, right? Yet they disobey those laws and further seek to evade that responsibility, according to Romans 1. They suppress that truth, even though they know it.
All right, so again, the history of philosophy illustrates how human thinkers seek to avoid responsibility to God by claiming autonomy. They don't want to obey God's laws, and so they set themselves up as the ultimate judges of what is right. Theological ethics seeks to base values on sense experiences, but it can't bridge the gap between the is of the experience and the ought of value. Well, this is what it is, but what should it be? Well, it's wishy-washy there. It's
Right,
hard.
right.
Hard to say what I wh this is what I did, right? But what should I do, or what should I have done?
Yeah.
That's where it
The
gets a little
whole issue that you can't get an ought from an is, right? The fact value distinction is what he's getting at.
right. And really good conversations in philosophy classes happen when you get there. Deontological ethics claims a source of duty beyond experience. But that source is ultimately so mysterious to the point where it lacks all usefulness. And subjectivist ethics base its judgment on mere feelings, but why should one person's feeling command anyone else's attention or behavior?
Right. And even after the philosophers, he tells us, the liberal theologians come running and waving the banner of autonomy, right? Fletcher's ethics, right? And the newspaper columnists, he says, and talk show hosts and the politicians, they follow suit. And thus develops this conventional wisdom, he tells us. He says this develops the ills of a society governed by that wisdom. So we have this conventional wisdom, and of course, all of the ills of societies flow from it. Christianity, he tells us, is the alternative. Only Christianity flies right in the face of human claims of autonomy. Only Christianity, therefore, has, he says here, the answer to lawlessness, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so that's what he wants us to see with regard to ethics.
And I'll just point out the fact that if you're looking at current day 2023, hello to those in the future. I don't know what you're doing from the past, but we welcome you as well. The fact that there's so many ethics philosophers in the pop culture that know a thing in a certain area that then they're asked about and understandably so areas where that is not their qualification. So Neil deGrasse Tyson might know the nature of stars and the makeup of planets and galaxies, but then it's like, well, then what should we do about our lawmaking governments? And it's like, well, I have an opinion to that. And so again, where are we looking to? Well, we're looking to autonomously a person who knows a thing about a thing, rightfully so. But then why would we care what that person has to say about another type of thing that they're not an expert in? And so even there, we're still looking again for a personal person to tell us how to base our ideals. And it's interesting that God, you've sent us the boat, the helicopter, and the National Guard, but why won't you save me from this flood? I sent you the boat, the helicopter, and the National Guard. What more do you want?
Yeah.
So we're looking around for everywhere but up, and so that's the interesting thing that we're still seeing here.